You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome into the gym class for a Monday in the month of February here on KGYM. Scott Unash with you from our studios. I'll be joined by Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, coming up here in just a moment. And Buttons on the other side of the glass, celebrating a birthday today. Happy birthday to Buttons today. And he's having a good one over there. Good birthday so far. Very good. See, the dog got you some balloons. That's awesome. I didn't know he could use the internet. That's great. Kudos to you for teaching him to do that. Great show coming up for you. Mike Halas, sports columnist for the Cedar Rapids Gazette, stops by. We'll talk Iowa and Illinois, the Big Ten. We'll talk about sports in general coming up with Mike here in just a little bit. And take a look back at the weekend that was in the world of sports. Text line always available to you at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. We encourage you to get in touch with us. That's a phone line as well, 319-366-1600, if you would like to weigh in on Iowa, Illinois, and everything that happened as far as the weekend is concerned. Coming your way on 1600 AM along with 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, as well as KGYM radio stream, brand new KGYM mobile app, and your smart speaker as well. And reminder that coming up all this week here on KGYM on local programming during the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn between 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock all week long. They have your opportunity and shot to win a Hertine & Stocker $50 gift card to use for that perfect gift for your significant other out there. Since 1947, the Dickens family has been helping customers with their Valentine's Day needs. Choose from diamonds, bracelets, watches, sterling silver, and fine jewelry, and even Hawkeye treasures. Hertine & Stocker Jewelers.com in downtown Iowa City. 319-366-1600. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon, Scott. As usual, every Monday, plenty to chew on. Fran McCaffrey held a news conference just recently, and so much more. And I like to join you in wishing Buttons a very happy birthday.
Yeah, I'm not going to ask an age or anything like that. We don't need to know that. Don't need to know that. Just as long as he has a good one out there, right?
Well, he's younger than my youngest child, I'll tell you that.
I don't know. It's probably fairly close with mine, so we'll see. We'll see. Every time I look up and see the balloons, though, I think somebody is standing out in our hallway. So I'm just throwing that out to you, Buttons, out there. Again, 319-366-1600. As we get into Super Bowl week as well, the Chiefs and the Buccaneers coming up on Sunday. Coverage coming your way in all four frequencies right here on KGYM. That will be starting at 1 o'clock with the pre-game show. I think 2 o'clock with the pregame show, and then 3 o'clock with the pregame show, all leading up to about a 5:40 kickoff from Tampa as the Buccaneers host the Chiefs in Super Bowl 55. And again, we'll have it on all four frequencies coming your way this weekend on Sunday right here on KGYM. You mentioned Fran McCaffrey and the media today, and the Hawkeyes coming off their second consecutive defeat, this one at the hands of the Fighting Illini of Illinois. And a fun game, I think a game really, Mark, that had everything in it. And we'll talk with Mike Halas about his column about that particular ball game. That, yes, it was a loss, but there are no such good things as a good loss, but there were several things that shined as far as that Iowa performance against Illinois is concerned. And I guess that's a good place to start on this Monday. First of all, Fran's talk today.
Yeah, Fran much more talkative than he was after the Illinois game. Most folks have seen him very short answers after the game. Didn't want to talk about the officiating.
He couldn't.
So on. No, he couldn't. He couldn't. And I have no problem with the way He addressed the media after the game. Today he said C.J. Frederick, who was sorely missed in that Illinois game, has a chance to play against Michigan State and into this week. He's going to practice today and see how things look. Fran also asked about his confidence that there is going to be a Big Ten postseason tournament, and Fran said he's very confident of that. And some of the players also talking today, Keegan Murray, Joe Wieskamp, Luca Garza. Garza pointing out that Michigan State, tomorrow's opponent, is one he has never beaten in his Iowa career. And Wieskamp commenting that he thought the team had its best practice of the season yesterday, and they just want to continue that today and into Tuesday.
Yeah, because it is a very NBA-esque week for the Iowa men's basketball team this week. Michigan State tomorrow night, that has been determined to be a 6:07 tip-off. FS1 will have the action, television action for that one. And then on Thursday night, it'll be Iowa and Ohio State, and that will get underway at 6 o'clock as well. That one on ESPN, by the way, on Thursday night, the Hawkeyes and Ohio State. And then on Super Bowl Sunday, Iowa goes to Bloomington to take on Indiana bright and early at 11 o'clock. That is a Fox Sports broadcast for that one. And then February the 10th, which is next Wednesday, it'll be Iowa hosting Rutgers from Carver Hawkeye Arena. And then the return match with Michigan State, this time in East Lansing, it will come up on Saturday afternoon, and that will be a 1:30 start. And that's also a Fox National broadcast. So lots of games coming up for Iowa, and no matter what happened in Champaign-Urbana on Friday, and we know now that that was a loss to give Iowa their third loss as far as the Big Ten is concerned this season, I think these next five games are going to determine a whole lot. Five games in 11 days, basically a week and a half for Iowa. And then the sixth game after that is no slouch either, with Iowa having to go to Wisconsin. So maybe just add one. Maybe the next six games are going to determine where this Iowa basketball team is going to finish in the regular season. Would you agree with that, Mark?
I would agree, certainly, yeah. And it's a compacted schedule for a lot of teams. Michigan State will tomorrow play its third game in 6 days in the three different states. Iowa just starting a stretch tomorrow of three games in 6 days, or four and 10 or 11, however you want to look at it. So depth is going to be important. We know how Iowa has that on its side. As far as the Illinois game, and I may get a chance to iterate this with Mike, I thought he wrote a brilliant column on Sunday. You know, I saw a lot of folks on social media complaining about the officiating. Iowa, no free throws in the last 10 minutes and six in the game. The block goaltending controversy with Coburn and why it took so long, on and on and on. But the bottom line is, that was a hell of a game.
It was.
That was a really good game with a very small margin of error.
It was. It was a terrific game. By the way, David and Hudson, thank you for chiming in on the text line. We do appreciate it. Other than Luca, I'm not sure they miss anyone more than CJ. And by the way, Jeff wishes you a happy birthday, Buttons. Thank you to Jeff. Buttons, thanks you. Yes and no. They missed CJ Frederick. I don't think there was any doubt about it. And then Luca Garza got in a little bit of foul trouble. Jack Nungy was terrific, especially on the defensive end as far as the Hawkeyes are concerned. And I think it was Mike Alas who said it last week. Let us know that in Iowa's losses, Jordan Bohannon averaging about 3-point-something points per game. And another loss in another game where Jordan Bohannon didn't score a whole bunch. Hit a big three at the end to give Iowa a little bit of a glimmer of hope. Yes, Iowa, whatever, even if it's C.J. Frederick or Jordan Bohannon or Joe Wieskamp or whomever, the situation is Iowa needs another outside shooter, and they need that consistent outside ball going in to get things unclogged in the middle for Luka. And when that doesn't go, and not a lot of teams can say this, your task is much tougher. Now, as far as the officiating, Mark, you and I have seen so many Big Ten games over the years. We know road team, even if there isn't a crowd there, as per usual in Big Ten play, you don't get calls. I mean, that's just kind of the nature of the beast. And it's probably not to the extreme that it happened on Friday night in Champaign, but that's life on the road as far as the Big Ten is concerned. The officials did mess up the goaltending. Should not have been called goaltending in the first place, and certainly should not have taken 6.5 minutes to figure out. And I felt bad for both teams because that was just an absolute stoppage of play. I'm glad they got it right, but in the end, it did take the momentum away a little bit from both teams and certainly did not help the Hawkeyes because Iowa, after the block, got a 2-point goal off of it. And that was wiped away, and that's what made Fran, I think, even more angry. And probably a good thing he didn't say a whole lot in the postgame show.
The block slash goaltending, I think, I can understand because it was a little fuzzy. And imagine if you're an official, you know, maybe out on the perimeter and you know, get a view that you think it might have been goaltending, but it wasn't. Yeah, Wieskamp got a follow-up basket off that, but that was wiped out. The foul situation, it is what it is, but it's very rare, whether you're Iowa or anybody else in the Big Ten, to shoot only 6 free throws in a game. And as much as Garza gets banged around inside and the physical nature of the play in the Big Ten, man, that's super rare that you only go to the foul line 6 times and none in the last 10 minutes.
But we have seen that happen in Iowa City as well, with Iowa the beneficiary of that situation.
Yeah, I'm sure that's been the case. I don't have one right offhand, but I'll trust you on that.
There was a Michigan State game a couple years ago that comes to mind. And I think Tom Izzo was a little bit heated as well, kind of like Fran was, if you read between the lines after the ball game. 17 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Iowa still very comfortably in the top 25, in fact, in the top 10 in the latest AP college basketball poll that was released earlier on today, as really did not hurt the Hawkeyes as far as the poll is concerned, as Iowa remains, they fell to number 8. The big news, though, Mark, the national folks had to find and dig for the logo for the Drake Bulldogs, who are now in the top 25 of the country. How about that?
You know, it's about time. And first time since 2008, this team is undefeated on the season. Narrowly got by Illinois State yesterday. Illinois State had a point-blank shot at the end of the overtime. But nevertheless, the Bulldogs prevailed. Not a good Illinois State team, really. 5-10 going into the game. But Drake has a target on its back right now. There's no doubt about it. When you're undefeated, you're going to get everybody's best effort. But Drake did prevail. And very nice recognition for the Dogs.
Yeah, very nice. Drake still 13 in the net. Here's the head scratcher to me, and they are just outside the top 25 now, and that is Loyola at 14-3, and Loyola 9-1 as far as the conference. Net of 16 right now in the country, and most of the bracketology does not have Loyola in. Is Loyola or Drake going to be that team, or perhaps both, if they both get upset and if there is a Missouri Valley Conference tournament? I mean, they both got to be in right now, don't they? There's no reason in the world why those two teams shouldn't be in the field of 68.
Well, with that kind of net, no, I totally agree with you. I don't know what the bracketologists are thinking, but, I mean, there's a long way to the finish line, but these two teams right now are playing NCAA tournament-worthy basketball.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it. Latest as far as Jerry Palm is concerned, Drake is in the field as a 10 at the moment. And first four out, Loyola. Along with Syracuse, Utah State, and Wichita State. So a 10-6 Stanford team is in, though. You got to have that in. Yeah, I have not looked at Joe Lunardi. I'll have to check that out here in a little bit. But I'm with you. I do not know how they are not both in as far as the NCAA brackets are concerned right now. Drake is a 19-point favorite tonight at home against Illinois State in the rematch. And Loyola has a rematch with Missouri State as well. So more action coming up this evening.
Yeah, you and I both know this. These are just talking points, but
of course,
interesting talking points. None of these bracketologists have 100% accuracy. It's just their opinion. We have ours. You have yours. It's merely a talking point right now, but I don't see any way if the season ended right now that Drake and Loyola wouldn't be in the tournament.
Again, it comes down to this question, and when the net came into play and quad wins came into play, and we'll talk about this with Kevin Lehman, the coach, coming up on Thursday, and he is not in favor of it as well. It seems as though the quad system has just crippled the mid-majors as far as getting in multiple bids. And again, I ask, simple as this, would you rather see the ninth place team in the ACC get in or a team like Drake having their best season in over a decade, second best season since the great run of, you know, Lewis Lloyd back in the day and Dolph Pulliam? Drake possibly can go 24-1 or 24-2 and not make the tournament because they get upset by someone in St. Louis at Arch Madness. I mean, it just makes zero amount of sense.
Now, if you're posing the question to me, it's a rhetorical question because I'm on your side.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. That is the number. That is the text line to reach us. That is our phone line as well. And we do have a, at KGYMradio.com, we have a poll question today dealing with Iowa and Illinois from Friday night. If you could enlighten us on that.
Yeah, the question is, would you like to see an Iowa-Illinois rematch in the postseason? Yes or no? And thanks to Steve Anderson and his team in Iowa City at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, doing great work in that field since 2003. I'd be surprised if the response is not unanimous, Scott.
I would agree. Now, the computer picks out the schedule every year as far as the Big Ten is concerned. So if you're wondering why Iowa and Illinois only played once, computer picks it out. Would you like to see a second game? Absolutely, you'd like to see a second game. That was a lot of fun on Friday. By the way, our friend Kevin Lehman, weighing in, sent me a text here, Mark. Drake has not played a quad one game yet, but they are 2-0 in quad two games so far.
Yeah, and I think that's especially so when majors don't want to play mid-majors like Drake and Loyola. And we've talked about that in the past. You can't, very few teams want to get a game with teams like that. And that's a penalty to the toward the mid-majors.
True. Very true. Kevin goes on to say those canceled tournaments in November eliminated the Valley's opportunities to play quad one games. And that's not the Missouri Valley Conference's fault or whomever it is out there. Utah State's got a very good team as well. This could run into problems for BYU or St. Mary's out as far as the West Coast Conference with Gonzaga is concerned. Didn't get that opportunity to help out the schedule. And those are the only times, basically, that mid-majors are going to get the opportunity nowadays to play Power 5 teams are in those November tournaments. And when you lose those, you really are on the short end of the stick as far as things are concerned.
Winning, you don't have to worry about it, right?
Well, you don't, but if you go, again, you're 24-2 or whatever the case may be, I think that's a pretty good enough resume to get into the NCAA tournament.
I agree. Ahead of
a team that's, you know, what? This year it would be something like 14-13.
Indiana, maybe?
Well, who knows? Indiana, and I'm not taking anything away, and you're not either from Indiana. They've had good wins, including the Iowa win in Iowa City. Yeah, I guess it's just, the Big Ten, it may be not a great example of it as far as this year is concerned. Always good to talk college hoops. 319-366-1600. The text line available as we come up on 26 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock here on the start of Super Bowl week here. And we'll talk more about the Super Bowl coming up as we make our way through the week here. Kansas City and Tampa Bay. Cyclone Coaches Show coming your way tonight on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM. That will be at 6:30 this evening. 6:30 for that. And then tomorrow night, we've got Iowa State in West Virginia. It just doesn't get a whole lot easier for Steve Prohm and the Cyclones, and things are just not going well in Ames.
That's for sure. They may get some players back, as I have read, but still might not make much of a difference.
No, it's tough right now. Good game yesterday, too, on the women's side. Good win for Iowa up in Minneapolis, taking care of business against Minnesota. And then Iowa State had the rare opportunity to beat Baylor for the third straight time yesterday in women's basketball in Ames, but came up a little bit short. Baylor clamped on the defensive pressure in that fourth quarter and came away with the victory. So those two teams split as far as this year is concerned. And who knows? Could be a third meeting, and I wouldn't bet against there being a third meeting at the Big 12 Women's Basketball Tournament.
Yeah, that was a fun game. Iowa State showing that it can play with almost anybody in the country, and it was close throughout. As far as Iowa goes, had a great third quarter against Minnesota, and the Hawkeyes were rewarded. Monica Sinano, Player of the Week in the Big Ten, and who do you suppose was freshman of the week?
Caitlin Clark won the Caitlin Clark Award?
She did.
Wow. Good for her. Yeah, Sinano was great. Especially in that loss to Northwestern when she went over 30 points as far as that game is concerned. But a good bounce back for Lisa Bluter and the Hawkeyes against Minnesota over the weekend as well. 319-366-1600. Mike Halas going to join us in about 5 or 6 minutes or so as we make our way through the weekend that was in the world of sports. Hopefully no one missed the Pro Bowl. There wasn't one yesterday, by the way. I kid out there. We did get a few golf headlines over the weekend as, again, Mr. Controversy, Captain America, Patrick Reed was right there with a golf controversy. And there are controversies as far as the world of golf is concerned. And, yeah, Patrick didn't come out of it looking real good. But anyway, he got the victory over the weekend. What, 5-shot win, though, at Torrey Pines.
Yeah, in the end, it didn't matter. He won by 5 shots, but I have a problem with what he did. The PGA Tour does not. And in the end, the rules officials of the PGA, they make the decision. To me, you never pick the ball up before an
never.
Official or your playing partners can examine the situation. And I'm surprised the ruling was what it was.
I was a little bit as well, and I felt bad for CBS Sports golf new rules guy. I don't know his name. He was a former rules official on the PGA Tour. CBS, kudos. I thought their coverage really was exemplary over the weekend, picked things up, and they brought in a Gene Steratore type for golf, and the poor guy had to go through this in the first hour of his work. He's probably not ever going to get a worse one than this. And he had to explain it. I thought he did a pretty good job, but that was very ironic that that happened to that gentleman.
Yeah, it was, but it was a good, refreshing insight. And I think he's not the first analyst in that regard to be brought into a broadcast, but I thought it was a good component of the coverage. And, you know, Nick Faldo, he did everything but say it was a stupid ruling and Reed should have been penalized. I was disappointed in Nick. He should have gone the full Monty on that.
He did everything but he was holding his tongue at the end. But I agree with you. Nick was also very upset. They were playing lift, clean, and place through the entire golf course, not just through the fairway. And I'm kind of with Nick. Fairway is fine. Fairway is fine. If you have mud on your ball and it's muddy and whatnot, and they're playing lift, clean, and place, no problem with that. But in the rough, we'll see. They were playing embedded, though, so the debate goes on as far as that is concerned. 319-366-1600. Before we get to our break here and get to Mike Halas, does not sound Major League Baseball. We don't know if we're going to have several things. First of all, we don't know if we're going to have spring training starting on time. We don't know exactly how many games were going to be played in the 2021 baseball season. It sounds like, though, that the proposal is going to be turned down by the Players Association, Mark. So I guess I don't know if that means I go back to square one on things or if we're going to have baseball in late November coming up this year.
Yeah, the proposal by Major League Baseball is a 154-game season, delayed a month, the start delayed a month, and expanded playoffs and universal DH. We already know where the players stand on expanded playoffs. They oppose expanded playoffs. I would expect this to be rejected by the players' union, and therefore, where do we go with this? And you know, for purists out there, I mean, Major League Baseball used to be 154 games. It's obviously 162 now, or 60 in a COVID year. I think it's going to be interesting to see where this lands.
It is. It is. Before we get to break here, Kevin has sent me, he looked this up for Loyola and Drake. Loyola is 0-1 in quad one. They lost to Wisconsin. 2-2 in quad two, 5-0 in quad two. Three. Drake is 4-0, not 2-0 in quad two, 4-0 in Q3. That includes that win against Kansas State. Kansas State's a Q3 school now. Drake's two wins, though, at Missouri State went from quad one to quad two when Loyola beat Missouri State yesterday. So keep that in mind. So there you go. A little quad knowledge for you dropped on you on this Monday, the 1st of February. Everybody getting ready for Groundhog's Day coming up tomorrow. It will be the only sunny day we will have in the next 3 weeks. Right, Mark?
Probably so. Yeah, 2-1-21 today. How about that?
There you go. All right, we're going to take a break, come back, and we will talk to Mike Halas of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Take a look back at Iowa and Illinois from Friday night and more when we return. You're listening to the Gym Class for a Monday with Scott, Mark, and the birthday boy Buttons right here on KGYM.
So here's the thing. When you use electricity can matter as much as how much you use. Who knew, right? Linn County REC does. They purchase power to get members like you the electricity you need. When demand is the highest, it puts a whopper of an impact on the power grid, so the cost is higher. But if everybody kind of spreads out when they're using electricity, Linn County REC doesn't have to pay as much, and the savings are passed on to you. The busiest times for energy use are known as on-peak hours. Right now, that's from 4 in the afternoon to 9 at night. So, if everybody works together to lessen their use a little, it means lower impact on the grid and lower cost to Linn County REC and you. So, what can you do? Easy stuff. Avoid running multiple appliances at the same time during peak hours, schedule chores like laundry, running the dishwasher for off-peak times, and keep the amount of electricity you're using lower from 4 to 9. Working together can beat the peak. yet another one of the benefits of membership with Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
Hey folks, this is Alex Kuhn from KGYM. What better way to celebrate the 55th edition of the big game than with exclusive 55-1 odds on FanDuel Sportsbook? If you've never tried FanDuel before, new users can bet on either team and get 55-1 odds when the Chiefs play the Buccaneers. That's right, you can bet $5 and win $275 if you pick the winner of the big game on February 7th. Chiefs Kingdom, if you think that your team can stifle Tom Brady, 55-1 odds. And this is just one of many reasons to use FanDuel. They have tons of odds boosts and specials, not only every day, but they feature big super boosts each weekend. So just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and use promo code KUHN to get started. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code KUHN. Must be 21 plus and present in Iowa. New users only. Must wager on designated boost market. Deposit required. Max bonus $275. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
I'm Governor Kim Reynolds. COVID-19 isn't bigger than Iowans' resolve to overcome it. Together, we can stop the spread of the virus and get life back to normal by taking simple steps to protect ourselves and others. Wear a mask, social distance, wash your hands, stay home if you're sick, get tested, and isolate from others if you have the virus, and get a flu shot to prevent further illness. Doing these things will protect you and those most at risk. Let's step up and stop the spread together.
Sponsored by the State of Iowa and the Iowa Broadcasters Association in cooperation with this station.
Dutch Boy's new Platinum Plus paint with Stain Shield technology has the performance you expect from a luxury paint at a price you didn't. Platinum Plus is up to 50% more washable and stain resistant than a leading premium paint in satin sheen. Superiority ranges from 24 to 50% depending on sheen selected. Platinum Plus keeps your walls looking new longer. Menards and Dutch Boy paint have you covered. Go ahead, live your life.
3:36, back with you on the Gym Class on KGYM. Scott, Mark, and the birthday boy Buttons taking you through this 3 o'clock hour as we get ready to talk with Michael Oss, Gazette sports columnist, coming up in just a moment. A couple of news and notes here. As far as the Chiefs and their preparations for the Super Bowl coming up on Sunday, news coming out today. As a couple of COVID-related issues, one of them pretty significant. Wide receiver DeMarcus Robinson sounds like he is going to miss the Super Bowl. He has been placed on the reserve COVID-19 list due to close contact, as well as backup center Daniel Kilgore for the Chiefs. So not great news right there. And not great news as well. Dustin Diamond passing away today at the age of 44. We found out last week that he was not in good shape and was entering hospice. You probably don't know Dustin Diamond, do you, Mark?
That would be Screech.
You do know. Okay, very good. Yes, Screech from Saved by the Bell has passed away. So not good news, especially for the... I'm not good at the generation names here. We were talking about that earlier on today. I'm not very good at recognizing them, but 44 is way too young to be passing away. So we do know that. So bad news right there as far as that is concerned. 319-366-1600 is the phone line available to you. It is a Monday, and that means we catch up with Gazette sports columnist Michael Oss. You can read his stuff at thegazette.com. We very much encourage you to give him a follow on Twitter. It's a very good follow at Halas, H-L-A-S. And he joins us on the program today. And happy February to you, Mike.
Happy February to you, Scott, Mark.
Indeed. If we only get one Iowa, Illinois, Illinois fans certainly enjoyed it a little bit more than the Iowa fans, but tell you what, as far as college basketball was concerned, that was a beauty on Friday night.
I enjoyed it. I mean, I'm a guy who doesn't watch a lot of college basketball because I find most of it sort of, if it's a Big Ten matchup that I feel like I need to see to take a look at an upcoming opponent for Iowa. I'll watch it. I'll try to stay as interested as I can. But some of those games are pretty meh. And then I'll watch the big Pac-12 games when Bill Walton's doing the color, but only to hear him ramble on and on because the games themselves I find meh. Which is not the same as meh, but it's in the same ballpark. And on down the line, I mean, there are so many games, and, you know, it's not NBA-level talent, so you're not going to get great games most of the time. But that game, to me, was a showcase of the way I enjoy seeing college ball being played, which is fast-paced, aggressive, tight, tense, you name it. For not having a crowd there, you actually felt a little tension for a change, and I can only imagine what it would have been like with a crowd.
Well, Fran McCaffrey was clearly exercised after the game about a couple different things, but I thought he showed enormous restraint, Mike.
Well, you know, sometimes it's what can you do? You're handcuffed. You can't say a whole lot because the Big Ten is a league that'll slap you down pretty quickly if you chastise officiating. But, you know, when I drove home and thought about it, it's like if I didn't know the score, but I just watched the game for 40 minutes, I think I would have said Illinois was just a little bitty bit better and deserving of winning that game. Now, Garza didn't get very many foul calls. Iowa didn't get very many foul calls. Didn't shoot a free throw in the last 10 minutes. Okay. But, you know, Illinois was a very aggressive team that did a lot of good things in that game. They're a very good team, period. I don't think that loss diminished Iowa in the slightest, and that was reflected in the wire polls today. Iowa only dropped one spot after losing a game. That's pretty unusual. There's still a lot of respect for that Iowa team, and my feeling about it is that, and I think I wrote this, although I tend to forget quickly, is that it's a bump, but it's not a pothole. If they stink it up in the next two games at home, then yeah, there are concerns, but I don't foresee that happening. And I don't think anything that's happened leading into these games would give any reason to believe it would.
On the text line, a very interesting question I wanted to pose to you being there, Mike. Does the vast, incalculable disparity in quickness and athletic ability impact the number of fouls called? Instead of scrambling to cover Iowa shooters, the Illini defenders were waiting for them. That from 1156. It's an interesting point. Yes, Illinois is very, very athletic. It helps when you are the home team as well. I will just throw that out there. And that's always been the case as far as the Big Ten is concerned, in any conference as far as college basketball is concerned. But, Mike, it may go back to what you just said, that if you just watched it, Illinois may have been a tick better that night.
Yeah, college basketball hasn't changed much from an officiating standpoint, you know, over the decades, in my opinion. I think it's inconsistent, and it's going to be inconsistent because there are so many games, and there are some nights when you're going to have crews that maybe just aren't the most sensational, and other nights when they're working their fourth game in five nights. You've got to be better than that, especially on the road. You know, if before the season going into that game, I was telling people that Illinois was going to win just because I thought Illinois had sort of pulled itself together in its previous game after some disappointments, and that I thought things are trending their way, and I think that they're going to get back in the Big Ten race. I think Iowa's going to do likewise. The second half of that game, it's weird. There were 22 lead changes, and the first half ended with Illinois only ahead 2 points. But I thought Iowa's defense was considerably better in the second half. I thought that they shut down the transition a lot better, and that they did a much better job on Dosunmu. Dosunmu was named the Big Ten's Player of the Week. But he had 6 points in the second half on a couple of threes. He penetrated for all kinds of baskets in the first half. In fact, if I were picking the player of the week, I would have gone with Trent Frazier of Illinois, who played 40 great minutes, I thought, and did a lot of things to, I mean, to me, he was the star of the game. And DeSumo was very, very good. So, again, not a washout for Iowa. It wasn't the Indiana game, which was stinko. This was tooth and nail, fang and claw. And they come up a wee bit short. Okay, big deal. You know, I mean, you reduce your margin of error chasing the conference title. But as far as a team that's still formidable and, you know, still probably as good as any in the Big Ten, I don't see where it damaged Iowa.
Fran McCaffrey said today, as you know, Mike, C.J. Frederick has a quote-unquote chance to play against Michigan State and maybe into this week. Do you have a sense of how serious that injury is?
No, and I believe McCaffrey when he said it after Friday's game that he's not just saying it. He doesn't know. They don't know if it's going to be a long-term thing or if, you know. I mean, today on the Zoom, he said there's a chance and they'll see at practice today how it goes. And past history says that when Iowa says a thing like that, it means that if a player's not going to play in the next game, he's at least getting close. And they're looking big picture at this deal. They don't want to rush him back. There are too many games left. They're going to need him. You got to think long term instead of short term. And I think that, when they say that, I based on how I've heard them in McCaffrey in the past years, that I have no reason to doubt that that's exactly what it is, that it is day to day. And that, you know, last year Frederick was out for, I think, 3 games. I may be wrong, but I think it was 3 games. And their prudence turned out to pay off because he came back and played very well for them the rest of the way.
Michael Oss joining us at 3:47 here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Mike, I said a little bit earlier on that the next 6 games are going to determine where Iowa's going to finish up as far as the regular season is concerned. If they get all 6 in, I will say that. You've got an NBA-esque schedule, basically. Michigan State twice, Ohio State on the road against Indiana, on the road against Wisconsin, and a home game against a Rutgers team that's back to Rutgers at the start of the Big Ten suddenly. Mm-hmm. I guess, do you foresee that, or is this just life as usual this year in the Big Ten?
I think it's actually a better thing for them. Having 8 days between games, I don't think did them any favors. And I think that this is a chance to get in a groove. If you come out tomorrow night and take care of business against a Michigan State team that you should beat, which is a thing that I'm not sure you've ever heard me say before, but they should beat the Spartans tomorrow night. And then you go right back at it Thursday night. And I think it's, you can generate some momentum and develop some good habits and build confidence. The game Thursday night with Ohio State is the next game of the year. I'm assuming Iowa wins tomorrow, which I realize don't assume anything. I thought they'd beat Indiana too. But let's say they do beat Michigan State. Well, then you got number 7 Ohio State against number 8 Iowa. And if you're Iowa and you lose that game, you're 3 games behind Michigan in the loss column, and that's a lot of games. But if you've won those 2 home games this week, you're feeling pretty good. You know, you're 8-3, and if you beat Ohio State, you've done something, and away you go. You know, I think they go to Indiana, and they're a better team than Indiana. They caught Indiana on Indiana's best night and on Iowa's worst night. Well, all credit to Indiana for that, but that doesn't mean Indiana's going to do it to them again. And so I really do think they're going to get their next 3. And, you know, I'm not telling anybody to bet 10 cents on it, but if I had a dime I could spare, that's the way I'd wager.
That Ohio State team, Mike, is very an interesting one. It beat Michigan State by 17 yesterday. Spartans played better. But as far as Iowa goes, Spartans are going to play their third game in 6 days in three different states. But that Thursday game against Ohio State, they have really come into their own, and that's going to be a marquee matchup, as they say.
Yeah, they've got a good team. They've won three in a row, and look at where they've won. They've won at Rutgers, they've won at Illinois, and they've won at Wisconsin. Mm. That's all you need to know. They were sort of just bobbing in the water for a while, but these last 2 weeks they've really progressed, and they're well coached. They weren't one of the teams getting the most pub in the preseason, but he's got a nice lineup. They're not tall, but they start four guys who are in that 6'6", 6'7", 6'8" range, who are multiple skilled guys. And they have a player named E.J. Liddell who's just blossomed into an all-league candidate, where he wouldn't have been projected that in the preseason perhaps, but he's just consistently been very good in a lot of regards. They have good guard play, and they have a guard named C.J. Walker who they rely on, who was hurt and missed some time, who's coming back into form now, which makes them all the better. So, yeah, that'll be a very good team coming to Carver Thursday night.
Yeah, it will be. And, just think, a year ago, at the start of the season anyway, Ohio State also had D.J. Carton, and it seems, you miss a guy like that, but Chris Holtman's done a good job in Columbus. Very underrated guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, he certainly had the track record when they hired him, and they were counting on that, on what he's given them. And so far, I would think they're very pleased with the choice they made.
Mike, I want to give you a chance, and I know you're totally focused on Iowa, but Scott and I had a discussion earlier about Drake and Loyola in particular playing very quality basketball in the top 15 of the net. And would you rather see Drake and or Loyola in the tournament as opposed to, for example, an Indiana team?
Yeah, sure. I mean, always. Always. I don't care who Drake has played. You win 16 in a row, you've cheated the odds, and you're doing something incredibly well. Last night was their toughest game of the year. They almost lost last night, and it was almost shocking. You know, we're now getting used to Drake just taking care of business, putting teams away. And last night they got forced into overtime. I think they were like 18-point favorites in that game, which is crazy. You know, nobody's an 18-point favorite in the Missouri Valley or at a high-level league. So here they are today getting put into the top 25 of both wire pools. They haven't been ranked in 13 years.
Since Adam Emenecker.
Yeah. I mean, this is what, you know, Mark, Iowa gets the focus, but Drake, to this point, is the basketball story of the year in this state. And from, 2 hours east, I look at it with great interest. I don't cover him, so I can say this. I'd like to see him keep winning and winning and adding to this.
Drake Loyola's got a chance to be a whole lot of fun down the line. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And another interesting story before we let you go, non-basketball here, but over the weekend, Iowa got a verbal football commitment from a young man out of Des Moines North. It's been over two decades since Des Moines North has had a Division I high-level football recruit. They only got to play two games.
Good.
What's that?
He must be good.
Yeah, he is. You didn't hear a lot about him, but I it's such a great story, just digging into it over the weekend a little bit, because this young man is, Des Moines North has not been a football factory, let's put it that way, over the years. And what he is trying to do and what his coach is trying to do to resurrect, just the culture there, It's just a neat story, and this guy is one of those Iowa football recruits that you seemingly hear about down the line in about 3 or 4 years that nobody really was going to go after. He just he didn't put up any gaudy numbers. He only had two games, but he's the guy that checks all the boxes when it comes to what Iowa is looking for.
Well, historically, some of Iowa's happiest stories, as Ferentz calls them, have been the last guy who got scholarship offer each year, or the last one to accept one. They often have turned out to be, oh, he got an offer? That's kind of a surprise. And then 3-4 years later, it's like, that guy was pretty good. So we'll see. Maybe that'll be the case with this guy. The story this coming weekend, of course, is the fellow from Mount Vernon, just down the Highway 30 from, you know, your studios, starting in a Super Bowl as a rookie. That's not a run-of-the-mill story around here either. And I don't, Mark, you would know this better than I would off the top of your head, or Scott. I don't remember the last Mount Vernon scholarship football player at a D1 school before Tristan Wirfs.
Probably Paul Hufford.
No. Yeah, there was one. There was a defensive lineman a few years ago that played for Iowa.
Okay. Well, and I regret that I can't. That I didn't remember that, but the point I think is still valid, that it's not a very big town, and here starting blocking for Tom Brady at right tackle is, how old is he, 20, 21, 22?
Yeah, right in there.
And pretty big stage.
Matt Kroll, by the way, Matt Kroll.
Yeah.
Matt Kroll! Oh, God, sorry.
That's okay.
Sorry, of course. Oh, man, Matt, hope you're not listening.
It's a point well taken. I mean, the guy's had a phenomenal year as well. He's just not only starting, he's one of the best right tackles in football.
Oh, yeah, I mean, if he stays healthy and continues on the path he's on, it's like you're right now you'd say to yourself, that's a future Hall of Famer.
True. And how cool would that be? I hope he has a very good game on Sunday.
Yeah. I'll be driving home from Indiana listening to it on the radio, which will be very strange. But I guess it'll force me to focus on the game instead of the other nonsense.
There you go. All right. Mike, appreciate it. And have a good week.
Likewise.
All right. Mike Halas, read his stuff at thegazette.com. Give him a follow on Twitter at Halas. And we will talk tomorrow. We'll talk with Wyatt Schultz and look ahead to the Chiefs and the Buccaneers as the Super Bowl gets closer and closer. Chiefs putting DeMarcus Robinson on the COVID list today. But the Chiefs fans are happy because they're having yellow end zones for the Chiefs at the Super Bowl. A small detail right there, Mark, but it made Chiefs Kingdom very happy. We've got
those two guys have not tested positive.
No.
They're just on the list, and if they test negative the rest of the week, they will play.
Okay, so there you go. All right, stay tuned. Todd and Alex coming your way next here on KGYM. Mark, have a very good night.
Will do. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Buttons, have a great birthday, and stay tuned. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Coming your way next here on KGYM. Have a great night, everybody.
You already know Network Computer Solutions protects your network and computers, but did you know they can also protect your business with a security system? NCS offers everything: camera systems, door access, key fob entrance cards, even